Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots and the special Saturday edition. With a government backed by a majority of 80, there are opportunities for domestic policy like never before. But there is one decision that looms on national security and the government's future plans for 5G, and that involves Huawei. I'm joined by Robin Panyamenta, the head of technology at The Telegraph, and Tom Tugendhat, the former head of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, who is also vying to continue in that role in case listeners are ready to offer him their support in their incoming battle. Now, to focus on this conversation first, Tom, could you just explain to listeners who perhaps haven't been following this as closely what decision Boris Johnson and his government are going to have to make when it comes to the Chinese company Huawei and access to our 5G?
Sure. So 5G is a massive change from 4G. It's not just a generational shift, it's actually a structural shift. What it does is it reduces the time between the handset and the network communicating. And by doing that, it makes a lot of things that are currently impossible, possible. So cars talking to traffic lights or surgeons talking to each other, maybe remote operations, things like that, that require very, very, very low latency time. So the time between action and reaction are now going to be possible with 5G. Now, this is a huge advance for the UK. It's a huge advance for the world. The decision, however, changes the nature of core and non-core technology, because traditionally core has been the stuff that's back in the secure base of Vodafone or Three or whoever your phone provider is, and the non-core is basically a very clever antenna. Now, because of 5G, because of the reducing the latency time, as it's called, what that does is it pushes a lot more information further out from the core. Now, that's why the decision changes and isn't simply a replication of the 4G or 3G or even 2G decision. This is a very, very different question.
And when it comes to the security issue, we know that Boris Johnson has said that he is going to improve connectivity in the UK, and he sees having 5G as a key plank of that. But the issue is Huawei as a company is offering a route to doing this, which suggests in terms of cost effective and also timing, it would enable that. But America have warned quite heavily against this, both behind the scenes and this week. So, Tom, do you get the sense that the security risks potentially outweigh the benefits of the UK pressing ahead with this?
Well, this is a really tough call, and let's not pretend that there's an easy decision for the UK government here. There isn't. The reality is that the security risks are, so GCHQ and the National Cyber Security Centre tell us, they tell us that they're manageable. Now, for those of us who are not absolute geeks and can do the noughts and ones that make up cybersecurity, listening to the experts is exactly what we've got to do. But of course, this isn't simply a question of whether they're manageable today. It's about whether they're manageable in 5 and 10 years' time. And this is where the question of patching and updating systems comes in, because every time you do that, you've got to go through more and more lines of code. And each time you go through more and more lines of code, of course, you need more and more people to do it. And there is a danger here that what we end up doing is we end up building a system that we can only keep safe by hiring more and more and more people into GCHQ, so that actually we denude the UK tech sector in order to keep the UK communications sector secure.
Robin, I'm not going to describe you as an absolute geek, such as Tom was saying, that he's the true person to understand this, but as someone who specialises in technology, do you think there's a risk that the government is rushing into a decision here, or do you think we've had the necessary conversations about this when it comes to what they need to get in step?
Well, I think it's worth taking a step back and sort of thinking about how we got to this point, because really, I mean, in many ways, you could argue that this is a discussion that we're having kind of after the event. It's too late. Huawei have been in the UK for 15 years, and in fact, Britain was the first Western market that Huawei managed to get a presence in, largely because BT did a very big deal with them in 2005. And the consequence of that was effectively the dismantlement of Marconi, which was Britain's own national champion in telecoms, hardware manufacturing. So BT effectively led to that decision was a very important part of the collapse of Marconi. So we've now ended up in a situation where the supply chain for all of this kit I think between 2018 and 2020, globally, $480 billion is going to be spent on telecoms infrastructure equipment. You know, to a large extent, that's going to be 5G components. So it's a huge, huge market. And there are only three serious players, Huawei, Nokia and Ericsson. Now, you know, this is not an optimal situation to be in, to have that degree of control. And of those three, by the way, Huawei is by far the largest one. It's got about 30% of the market. It spent $50 billion on R&D. It spends $15 billion a year on R&D, which is more than Apple. So there is a strong argument that, you know, they have the best kit, the best technology, and they sell it at the most competitive price. It's going to be very difficult for Britain to unravel its existing networks. It's very hard to see how we can simply eject Huawei altogether from the UK telecoms market, given its you know, historic presence in it.
And on that, Tom, the message from Boris Johnson this week appears to ultimately be he understands that countries like America view this as potential security risk, but unless they can offer an alternative, unless they can be, you know, there to offer technology, suggest companies that can do it at the pace and the cost, then actually he wants solutions, not problems. And otherwise, the implication is you press ahead unless someone else can dive in, which as of yet, there doesn't appear to be much sign of.
Well, there are alternatives, and Robert's mentioned Nokia and Ericsson. Actually, Fujitsu does do 5G and does it very well, but it doesn't sell outside Japan. Samsung the same, but doesn't sell outside South Korea. And if those two companies aren't willing to leave their domestic markets, then that does cause us an issue. But actually, Cisco is already doing 5G networks inside the United States, and I can't remember how many cities, but certainly in the dozens. And so the opportunity to use alternative suppliers is there. And actually, there is a danger here, and there's a very understandable danger that the UK government is trying to avoid, which is a single monopolistic supplier, because of course you don't want to be totally reliant on one. And that's one of the reasons why the UK is very cautious about excluding Huawei, because they don't want the UK industry to be dominated by Ericsson or even Ericsson and Nokia. They want to have alternatives. The problem is, Huawei is alleged to have support from the Chinese state, which mean that it is in some ways undercutting other suppliers in a form of, if you like, tech dumping, in the same way as China is accused of steel dumping. Now, I'm not the expert in these, but the accusation is very strong from many in the tech community. And so actually there is a danger here that if we allow Huawei in, it's not actually multiplying suppliers, but it's giving Huawei the opportunity to go fully monopolistic. And that, and here Robert is absolutely right, that is a decision that we should have looked at in 2005. But of course, in 2005, we thought opening China to market economies was going to lead to civil reforms and democratization. I think we found out that those bets proved to be, well, unsuccessful.
You know, one of the suggestions that appears to be coming, and those who are warning against this, and in a way also from the American side, is actually they're not going to intervene here, but surely the UK has enough talent to come up with their own solution. They don't need a company like Huawei. Do you think that is pie in the sky thinking, given the timelines here?
I don't think it's pie in the sky. I mean, I think it's credible. Certainly, it's true, you know, the expertise exists. I mean, you could create a domestic national champion if there was the political will to do so. Or another alternative, and one which is being discussed in the telecom industry, is a sort of different industry model, if you like. Rather than allowing, you know, three or however many, four or five companies to totally dominate this colossal industry, you could adopt a model that was more along the lines of open source software. So you could, the industry could get together, you know, BT, Vodafone, Three, these companies could get together and they could set the parameters of the technology they wanted, and you would have a sort of open architecture, and any, you know, they could then go to any outsourced supplier to actually manufacture the kit and buy it. The problem with that is that obviously there's a huge vested interest in the existing players not to participate in that. So, you know, Nokia, Ericsson, Huawei have no desire to allow that kind of industry model to develop. It would take time and it would require a lot of international, you know, collaboration. And the reality is there is an urgency behind this decision, because Britain does need 5G. You know, if we, you know, for the future of our economy, we need good, we need, you know, state-of-the-art digital infrastructure, and that's really important. And if we, you know, if we don't make a decision, if we can't roll out that kit, we are going to suffer economically.
Tom, if we look at the risks, is there a risk that if this is greenlit by Boris Johnson and his government, and so far the mood music suggests that that could be where we are heading, that when we look at our close allies like America, they will cut off or at least reduce intelligence sharing of us because of it?
Well, there is an automatic trigger here that's got to be noted. The Congress has passed a law a little while ago that said that if you buy kit from countries that they deem inappropriate, then security partnerships will be reviewed. Now, review doesn't mean cut off, review doesn't mean, you know, excluded, but security relationships are based on trust, fundamentally, and the trust that we will keep information safe is really important to the intelligence communities, because, of course, if you can't keep it safe, you're putting their assets, their spies, their technology at great risk, and you may even be putting their country at risk. So we've got to make sure that we maintain that trust, and that trust goes both ways. Now, this isn't the only thing, but it's not unreasonable for the Americans to look at this and be concerned, because this is effectively the spinal cord of the British communication system that we're talking about replacing. And depending on whether you think that the nervous system is safe or not safe will depend on what information you're willing to put down it. So the question for all of us has to be not just can you guard the chickens in the hen house. Of course you can guard the chickens in the hen house, and you can guard them individually if you need to, but it just gets more and more expensive, and isn't it better not to let the fox in there in the first place?
You both may not want to answer this, but just to conclude the podcast, if you were the one getting to make the decision, what would you decide, Tom?
Well, I think I've made my view pretty clear. I mean,
no.
I wouldn't accept it, but I would put a huge amount of pressure on the US government and our partners like South Korea and Japan to say, look, this is a decision we've all got to take together, because otherwise, if we don't, as democratic, independent trading powers, if we don't work together on decisions like this, we are going to find ourselves with no alternatives. And I'm afraid that's a very important decision, not just for the UK, but actually for the whole of what used to be called the West, but is now more appropriately called democratic states.
Robin?
I think it's a tough decision. I think that I guess I would adopt a dual approach, which is that I would support the creation of an alternative industry model and push as hard and as quickly towards that as possible. I would probably agree with, you know, the view that Huawei probably has to play a role in the UK telecoms market going forward, but it should be restricted. There should be, you know, stringent monitoring and stringent controls and caps over the amount that they can deploy and the, you know, its presence in core parts of the network.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Tom.